The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
And as we're starting a new year, and we often take a moment to reflect on our lives, on things that might have come up in the past year, and things that might come up in the coming year. And one thing that came up for me is this theme of a skillful response to the world. And it seems to be something that is alive because of all this stuff happening. Like, how can we be in the world even if it's falling, seems to be falling apart? And so a few weeks ago, I gave a talk on this, and I mentioned that unskillfulness in the world stems from the three unwholesome roots of existence. Our greed, aversion, and delusion are those three unwholesome roots. And these are translations of the Pali words lobha, dosa, and moha. And I mentioned that they mean much more than these English translations can convey. For example, lobha is about the tiniest degree of wanting to the deepest attachments that we might have. And dosa is about the tiniest amount of irritation to the most intense hatred that we might experience. And moha is about all forms of delusion, not clear seeing, confusion, or a not knowing or fogginess in the mind. And so these three unwholesome roots are the cause of suffering in this world. And the cause of suffering and unskillfulness and unwholesomeness in ourselves and in others and in the world around us. And the Buddha points out that our aim is to uproot these unskillful roots and to cultivate wholesomeness and skillfulness. And so I also talked about in the talk about what is within our sphere of influence and how can we let go of what is outside of our sphere of influence. Since often what happens is that we get kind of entangled and caught up in things that are not within our control. And so if that's something you want to learn more about, the talk is on Audio Dharma, and it's called A Skillful Response to an Unskillful World. So today I want to talk about how can we be in the world, in a world that seems to be falling apart. And the Buddha pointed us to some key aspects in his teaching. And those are the four Brahma Viharas. And Brahma Vihara means heavenly abode, or the four immeasurables, sometimes translated. And these are loving kindness, or metta in Pali, compassion, karuna, sympathetic joy, mudita, and equanimity, upekkha. And I believe that Dawn talked about metta earlier, maybe a couple weeks ago. And so today I'd like to talk about compassion or karuna. And so, I want to look at what is compassion and how can it support us in the world of today, in the face of suffering, in the face of difficulty. And this applies to both the suffering in ourselves, the difficulty that we might experience, as well as in others, as in the world. So it can apply to a macro and a micro scale. And at the beginning of a new year, we might have kind of an intention and hope for more goodness and more well-being in the world and in our own lives. And through the Buddhist teachings, we can work towards that goodness and well-being, and even maybe feel goodness and well-being independent of what is happening in the world. And so compassion is One of the four sublime states, the one of the four Brahma Viharas, like I just mentioned. And each of these four has certain characteristics. And that means that they arise in different situations or are applicable in different situations. So loving kindness arises in kind of general social situations when other people or beings are involved. Compassion arises in situations that involve suffering or difficulty. And we ourselves suffer, or someone else is suffering, or we see suffering in the world. Then compassion might arise, or we might want to cultivate compassion. Sympathetic joy can arise in situations where there is a cause for joy, like when someone is doing well. Like if our friend recovered from a nasty illness, or if a family member is happy and content in life, then we might experience some joy for them. We are happy for others. And we can be happy for ourselves too, for our own goodness, for our own happiness and good fortune. And then equanimity, that is a quality of heart, mind that arises when balance is needed, maintaining balance in any situation, whether it is about adversity or an exuberant situation. Equanimity maintains a balanced heart mind that is not pulled towards aversion and resistance on the one hand, and also not towards desire and attachment on the other hand. And so equanimity can really help us in as support for all the other qualities that they don't get out of balance. And so in this way, compassion is placed in those larger contexts of the Brahma Viharas, the sublime abodes or the immeasurables. And so it is a very useful quality to develop, because it's a state of mind and heart in which we wish for ourselves and others to be free from suffering, difficulties, or discomfort. And we wish ourselves or others to be at peace, at ease, free from suffering. And it can also have kind of an action component. Like if possible, we want to alleviate the suffering we encounter. It's just that this alleviation of suffering might not always be possible or even appropriate. I sometimes give the example of if you see a bird eating a worm or a lion eating a gazelle, you know, then compassion might arise for the worm or the gazelle. And we don't want the being to suffer. But if we start to try to rescue this this worm or this gazelle, then, you know, then this the lion or the bird won't have any food. And maybe they're trying to feed their young. So, you know, then taking action to alleviate suffering is maybe not so appropriate and maybe not even possible. Like also if we see something on TV about a flood on the other side of the world or some disaster on the other side of the world, it's usually pretty impractical to jump on a plane to go help people on the other side of the world. Although we can certainly, of course, donate money to charity, to a charity that provides aid over there. And sometimes we can offer our help, our support. Like if we see someone trip and fall on the street, then we can help them get up and see if they need anything. Or we can try to reduce our footprint to take care of the planet. Or we do some volunteer work at a food bank or a shelter. Or we advocate against climate change or against injustice and so on and so forth. And so compassion really needs a certain balance. Jack Kornfield has a beautiful quote around this. He says, Just as our compassionate heart can be touched by the sorrows of the world, we must also remember that it is not our responsibility to fix all the brokenness of the world, only to fix what we can. Otherwise, we become grandiose, as if we were put here to be the savior of the humanity around us. End quote. So we don't want to take responsibility for the whole world, because we will be, you know, get burned out. So we want to do what we can within reason. And so doing what we can within reason is what is actually an expression of compassion for ourselves. And with compassion, we guard our boundaries and maintain balance. And so compassion is itself is actually free from suffering. So when there is a pure experience of compassion, then we do not suffer ourselves. We are in an open, caring, and loving state of being, where we genuinely wish for the other or ourselves to not suffer, to be free from suffering. And so this is different from pity, where in a sense we kind of suffer together with someone else. So there's some suffering present in our own hearts, minds, when we feel this pity. And we might feel some powerlessness or sadness or despair or simply pain. And some people are very sensitive and they can literally feel along with other people as if the other's pain is their pain. But compassion is a wholesome state of being without desire or resistance, without sadness or powerlessness. So I think this is a very advanced state of being, so to speak. And the Buddha describes it as follows. One abides and dwells whilst suffusing the entire world with a mind, heart, full of compassion, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without enmity and without ill will. And so for most of us, this immeasurable state, as the Buddha describes, might only be sporadically or even never really fully achievable. And so what often happens is that we feel some compassion to some extent, and then to some extent there is some powerlessness maybe, or some pity arising, or some resistance or desire. So it usually is kind of a mixed bag, mixed intentions present. And so that's normal. It's normal to experience this mixture of wholesome and unwholesome qualities. And so there's no need to be afraid that we're not doing it right if we do not radiate this complete love and warmth and care in time of difficulty or in times of any form of suffering. That's normal. It's not a sign of failure or not doing it right. What is important to realize is that the development of compassion is gradual. The more we practice with compassion, the more this compassion can develop in our hearts. And it's a process that takes time. And so the good news is that it is something that we can develop and cultivate. And so it's about engagement in this practice of compassion. And we all have to start where we are. And it might be that our hearts are maybe, you know, somewhat closed off and the feeling of compassion doesn't really arise for us. Or it might be that it's already quite easily for you and you just need a little reminder. And so wherever you are on that scale, compassion can become stronger and stronger and arise in more and more situations the more we practice. And so I like to compare the cultivation of compassion, or for that matter, any of those four Brahma Viharas, to growing a garden. Like it's like some of us might have this mature garden of compassion, and some of us might, you know, start planting seeds today. In either case, we are developing and cultivating a kind of a garden as a simile. And Sharon Salzberg shares something around this too. And this is about metta, but this also accounts for compassion, I think, what she's saying. She says, doing metta, we plant the seeds of love, knowing that nature will take its course. And in time, those seeds will bear fruit. Some seeds will come to fruition quickly, some slowly, but our work is simply to plant the seeds. End quote. And so our work is to simply plant the seeds. That's simple. We don't have to be responsible or feel responsible for what actually grows out of these seeds, or when they grow, or how fast it all goes. Our job is to put in place conditions for compassion to arise. And so just like growing a garden, we can't rush it. And we can sow the seeds, we can water them, let the sun and soil do their work, but we can't rush it or make it happen. And in fact, if we start pulling on the seeds to make them grow faster, that would actually kill them, right? So the same with the practice of compassion. We just kind of need to be patient. We just don't know when the seeds will flower. And even if we know, oh, I already have kind of a mature compassion garden, it's pretty easy for me to generate this compassion. Doing the practice still involves this sowing of seeds, this watering of the flowers, letting the sun shine. And then at some point, our garden becomes even more beautiful beyond what we might thought was possible. And Sharon Salzberg again. Every time we form the intention in the mind for our own happiness or for the happiness of others, we are doing our work. Beyond that, we can trust the laws of nature to continually support the flowering of our love. And so when you engage in the practice of compassion, you can remember this garden simile. It can be very helpful. Remember, oh yeah, I was sowing seeds. It doesn't have to be perfect right away. I'm putting in place conditions for compassion to arise naturally. And no need for anything to happen right now. Just putting in place conditions. And sometimes when we do the practice of compassion, we might even feel feelings and emotions that seem opposite to compassion, or that seem not in line with it. And that's normal because the practice of compassion is a purification process. It will bring up whatever is not in line with these qualities yet. And Guy Armstrong, meditation teacher, says that these Brahma Vihara practices make the heart like a magnet and will attract all the qualities that need to be purified in our hearts' minds. And so this quality of compassion can be a supportive quality. Because even if we can do something to actively help others or even our own suffering, and then we can always have this wish, this genuine intention for the other or for ourselves to be free from suffering, that they may be well, that they may have the strength to face their suffering. And if we take, for example, the different wars going on, like often we can't really do much to help, but we can express the wish that those who are involved may be free from suffering, and that they have the strength to endure this difficult period. And that doesn't mean that they will be free from suffering, or even that they have the strength to endure. That's not what the practice is about. And because we can't make anything happen with the practice of compassion, we can only express the genuine wishes, the genuine intentions, and then we have to let go of the outcome. And so, in a way, these Brahmavihara practices are about purifying our own hearts, seeing what is in the way of the compassion, what is in the way of the kindness or the joy or the equanimity. And if we engage in the practices, these things will come up and we can purify our hearts. And sometimes we might be already more compassionate than we thought. Sometimes there are situations there where that shows. I remember earlier in the war in Ukraine, many people in the Netherlands, where I'm from, offered their homes or a room in their homes to refugees from Ukraine. Like, that's a form of compassionate action, just opening up your home to refugees. That's something very special if you think about it. And so sometimes the cultivation of compassion can seem a little daunting, feeling like a little overwhelmed with all the stuff that's happening. But what might help is to look at compassion as not harming other beings. The Buddha sometimes refers to it as the quality of non-harming. Compassion is non-harming. And the monk scholar Bhikkhu Anālayo, he says, compassion is the intention to avoid what is harmful for others and ourselves. End quote. And so if we feel compassion in that way, it is to avoid harm. Avoid harming, then the bar for experiencing compassion might feel a bit lower. Then we only need to avoid causing harm to ourselves and other beings, to experience compassion. And so, this not causing harm is essentially an expression of compassion. And for example, if we don't squash, the mosquito that was keeping us awake all night, but instead catch it with a glass and release it outside, and then it's a compassionate action, an expression of compassion, an expression of non-harming. Or if we take a moment to calm down and count to 10 instead of snapping at our child, that's also an expression of compassion for our child. And so everyone would kind of do that. This has this attitude of non-harming, and then the world would look very different. And so, how do we start sowing those seeds of compassion? And so, we can start this sowing of seeds and watering our garden by first of all being mindful of our own suffering, as well as the suffering that we see around us in others in the world. And so, this being mindful, knowing what is happening in our hearts, minds, is always the first step. We can start to investigate and look at suffering and difficulty, feel what it feels like in body and mind. And one of my teachers, Sayadaw Utechaniya, he encourages us to learn from our suffering. To learn from those three unwholesome roots that are the cause of suffering that I named at the beginning of the talk, the greed, the aversion, and the delusion, the lobha, dosa, and moha in Pali. And so with our insight practice, with our vipassana practice, we can observe, we can investigate and learn from the experience of greed, aversion, and delusion, the experience of difficulty and suffering. Sayadaw also encourages us to let wisdom, the wisdom aspect in the mind, learn from all these things that happen in our hearts, minds. He sees them kind of as data points. So if suffering arises, that's a data point that we can learn from, that wisdom, the wisdom aspect of the mind, can learn from. And then over time, all these different data points kind of start to connect together. And then insight arises, wisdom arises. And so besides this Vipassana or insight practice, the ancient texts also offer practices for each of the Brahma Viharas. And the practices that are offered is this cultivation of these four qualities with phrases of well-wishing. And so each Brahma Vihara has different phrases in order to elicit this specific quality. And for compassion, some of the phrases, or these are more of the westernized phrases, are, for example, I care about your suffering or my suffering. May I or you have the strength to face your suffering. And may I or you be free from suffering. Or the phrase that I used earlier in the meditation, may I or you meet this suffering with tenderness, care, and love. And so we can sit in meditation and then use these phrases for ourselves if difficulty arises, if a lot of stuff is happening in the world and we feel our own hearts tender and in pain, then we can use these phrases for ourselves. We can use them for those in the world that experience suffering. We can use it for whole groups. We can use it for the whole world, for the planet itself. And then we can see what happens if we open to these phrases, if we use those phrases to let the compassion arise. And maybe what I was saying, some difficulty might arise, something that's not compassion might arise, which is part of the purification process. That's very normal. And then we can work with the purification. We can use that as data points, that as investigation to look at. And sometimes what's helpful is to not start with beings or groups of beings that are very difficult for us, that have a lot of charge to them. We can start compassion small with small things like maybe you see someone is a little sick, you see a friend being sick, and then you can offer some compassion. Or someone in traffic that cuts you off, you can actually offer some compassion for them being in a hurry. You know, something like that. Just some small ways of starting this flow of compassion and not start with the most difficult thing that you can think of. And so on Audio Dharma and on Dharma Seeds, those are websites that have a lot of Dharma talks and guided meditations on them. There you can also find guided compassion meditations that you can do. And then often what is offered are for different types of beings, like starting with a dear friend or starting with a benefactor, as easier ways to start to get access to compassion, and then work ourselves our way up to more difficult beings. That's kind of what it's the traditional way of cultivating compassion is like. And so we can train this heart quality of compassion. And we can really see it as a training, as kind of growing this garden. And this mindfulness practice, this Vipassana insight practice, can be really supportive for that, to see the suffering that's there, to notice it, and to see what's still in the way of compassion. And then we can also use the actual practice of compassion, the phrases. And so this cultivation, this development of compassion is not about pretending. It's not about pretending to be compassionate when we're not, or pretending to care when we don't. It's not about forcing ourselves to be something that we don't really feel. It's about putting in place the conditions for compassion to arise. And then if we don't feel it, that's okay. That's how the practice works. It's about this planting of seeds and nourishing the seeds. And it's also about this recognition of these obstacles to compassion and the transformation of those, the irritation, maybe the judgment, the indifference that we might encounter in our practice. So we can be with whatever is there when we do the practice. It doesn't have to look a certain way. So we can approach this cultivation of compassion with a spirit of exploration, with curiosity and openness. And I want to end with a quote from the Dalai Lama. Change starts with us as individuals. If one individual becomes more compassionate, it will influence others. And so we will change the world.